know we're a little early, 5:28, but it's time for the 5:30 community meeting. Jim Humphrey, District 2 Supervisor, and your calls are welcome. So before we do anything else, here's the number. 888-876-5593. Repeat after me. 888-876-5593. Please make a note of it. All right, now with that out of the way, Tim Humphrey, how are you?
I'm good, Raleigh. Been real busy. I had a 1 o'clock meeting at Roosevelt, a community meeting. Yeah. It went really well. Probably 30 people there. We had ADOT there and Sheriff's Office. Jeremy Plain from the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. Chief Stoltenberg from the Tunnel Fire. It was a good meeting. Communities are interested in their communities and what's going on. So, yeah, it's good to have those meetings. And then got back and took care of a few things. And here I am to go over. We got a lot of projects going on in our area.
Let's hear about it.
And you probably saw it in the newspaper and things of that nature. But I'll start with my recent activities since the last time. Attended 4 agenda meetings, held a dumpster day in Gaisela. I was interviewed by Holly Bulk of Channel 3 regarding the bridge, which we're going to have a hard opening for the bridge ribbon cutting, I believe, on the 22nd of June.
Great.
Yeah. And so... I'm sure as we get closer to that will be in the paper as well. Attended a Brownsville Ag Day. That's where all the 4-H kids and stuff, they bus them out there. And there's tons of kids. I didn't count them, but there was bus loads full of them. And they go out there for their 4-H day where they get to rope and see mm-hmm. things done and kind of the ranch life. And so that was real interesting and a lot of fun because the kids had a great time. Attended a CAG Regional Council meeting, Central Arizona Government. I'm on that regional council, so we get together and put our funds together and work out on different projects. Attended a candidate forum in Tunnel Basin. Attended a Friends of the NRA dinner. I held my Roosevelt community meeting this afternoon at 1:00. And if things go well, I'll attend the Miami Council meeting tonight. I'll be a guest speaker at Tiny's tomorrow in Payson at 6 p.m.
What's going on in Tiny's?
They just have dinner on. It's a tea party deal, and they have dinner in the back room, and they usually have a speaker, and I've been asked to go up and speak.
Oh, good.
To them about what's going on down in the southern part of Gila County.
Okay, now on the Tonto Creek Bridge project, of course, the ribbon cutting is a big thing. This is a long time coming, years and years and years. Are we naming the bridge?
You know, I've had a million people ask that, and no. I mean, because no matter what we named it, somebody would want a different name. So you know, we just called it the Tonto Creek Bridge, but an actual signage name, no. Okay. But at some point in time, you know, that's something that probably could happen because there's people that lived across that creek for 80 years and been crossing that creek, you know. So should that family name be on the bridge, you know? And you talk about the people that have passed away because of the creek.
Right.
Well, there's lots of them.
Well, I know. And that would be a plaque,
that would be a plaque with all their names.
Right.
But that wouldn't be a name. That would be more of a
memorial.
A memorial.
And that would
actually
be nice if there would be a little memorial, not a big thing, but just listing everybody, because there are people, the opponents, who said, "Why are we spending this money? We don't need a bridge."
Sure.
Well, here's a list of the people, and this is why we're spending the money.
Right. Right. And the fact that now it's safe. It can be crossed at any time, day or night.
Okay.
Winter, summer, sunshine or rain, and also too, we're a county that live on 3.5% of our tax base, because of reservations, mine property, BLM, and Forest Service.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the fact that we now have safe passage to all of that area over there, it will help create infrastructure, which will give us a little more tax base than we've had, because I don't want to raise anybody's taxes. Right. So the more people we can get visiting our community, the more infrastructure we can create within our community, then we can keep running without raising taxes.
Good.
And so, yeah. So anyway, and our Golden Hill Project Phase 2, that's a sidewalk. It's supposed to start, this project should be completed by fiscal year 2025. It's 95% designed right now, so it's just a matter of finishing up the design and closing up the loose ends and starting construction. And it's not that big of a project to go from where we stopped back out to 60. So anyway, that's a good project that's going. Russell Road update. We've secured state funding for the Russell Road design project. We've received confirmation for the allocation of a SMART fund award for the design of that, and so we're going forward to work with the Army Corps engineers, Forest Service, utility companies. This will allow for the design that'll shift the road a little further back into the hillside, and we can maybe get started on that project, which is so much necessary.
Yes.
For people needing to get through that area, not only for recreation, but you know, if Six Shooter Canyon ever went out or anything of that nature, rather than have to go back through pipeline and stuff, then that's a outlet and where people could get to the hospital and things of that nature. And so that's really good news. We've only been working on it, what now, for 3 years. But anyway, and that's a state-funded project. So anyway, that's a good one. And then we have the other project that's going to be putting the liner in from right about where the county yard is to go down through and then go underneath Highway 60. And that, by putting a liner in, it will carry three times the water. So what they're saying is from this design, if we receive the water we did before, it would take three times that water. So that's a good project. And we're September is likely when the project I'm not going to get into that too much because it still needs to go to the Board of Supervisors this month. And but anyway, once the Board of Supervisors have a vote on that, I'll get further into that project.
Okay.
We had a landfill fire, which is never good. And, you know, during the investigation, they found some items, automotive waste, oily automotive parts, rags, paint thinner, and automotive batteries. Batteries are the number one cause for landfill fires. So, you know, some of this is causing a delay. I went to the landfill the other day, and they got to stop you and ask you, you know, do you have any of this stuff? And I guess people would tell them no if it was covered up and nobody could see it. But you guys got to work with this. I mean, these landfills are hard enough to run. And I'm sorry if you've got old batteries, but I do believe there's places that will take them. But don't just throw things in our landfill that's going to ruin it for everybody else. You know, we work hard to keep that up, and we want to maintain it, and we want it to last for 30 years. So be cautious on the things that you do take to our landfill.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the post office has become more aggressive about what people are mailing. And they, when you go in there, many of the post office now, they'll explain that it's a $100,000 fine if you are caught, even if they don't have a disaster, if you are caught mislabeling.
Right.
And all I could figure is they had to do this because of the amount of people that would mislabel. And we're doing batteries and stuff. You don't want that on a plane. You want that on ground transportation. So lying about that's not a good idea. But that's sort of the same thing here. Ultimately, is there should be some major penalty for somebody who, in fact, mislabels.
Yeah, it just, the thing of it is time is so essential, because people are saying it takes too long to get through the dump, you know, down in that hole. We're having to go down, which that dump's filling up, so it's a lot easier now than it was when it first opened. And besides that, they were limiting the type of waste garbage that went into the bottom to cushion that liner before they started just dumping everything.
Right.
So then if we've got to put, if we've got to have staff to look in every vehicle that comes up, you know, or at least watch what they dump out and get their license plate. It's like, come on, guys, you know.
I don't even know that I'd go that far. I just codify something that this could be a fine, because in the event of a major issue, there are times, not always, but there are times it can be traced back next to what else they have dumped or whatever.
Sure.
And right now, I think people don't feel there's any problem if they lie. Oh, no, I don't have anything. Well, you know, you'd think twice. I know when I was standing in line at the post office, I was like, holy, $100,000, what am I mailing? Well, not that, but it does make you stop and think.
It does, yeah. It seems like respect and responsibility is we're, the world is kind of getting away from it, and it's sad to see. But yeah, if this continues, then, I mean, you know, a guy can put up a camera, and cameras don't charge you much other than the installation of them.
Exactly.
And then there's everybody's license plate when they back up to the dump, and it's like, oh, guess what?
That's right.
So everybody, then they're going to start borrowing their neighbor's truck to take things to the dump. Yeah, hey, Bill, can I borrow your truck tomorrow to go to the dump? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we hope that that doesn't happen. But anyway, we hope we don't have any more fires and people get more responsible when they're using some of these facilities, because we want to keep them open and we want to keep things going as they should. And I think at some point in time our landfill staff is going to get some radio time or ask for some radio time so that they can go over some of the rules and regulations and kind of where they're going with the dump and what they're doing.
Yeah, and they should. You know, a lot of that's public service announcements, and we're happy to do them, and it doesn't cost them anything.
Sure. Well, good. Yeah, I'll let them know that. I'll let them know that. And we're going to be doing a lot of chip sealing, and we're doing our own chip sealing, and what the county, we get our material ordered way in advance. And so this time of year, I mean, we use everybody from the sign shop, from the mechanic shop, so we can go do chip seal. Because in the long run, we get a lot more chip sealing done if we do it than contract it out.
Right.
And so anyway, most of it's going to be in this Globe area, Globe Miami area. And it's Beer Tree Crossing, Upper Pinal Creek, Wallaman Road, Saguaro Drive, Johnson Road, Rose Mofford Way, Washburn Street, Nielsen Street, Hope Lane, Huey Street, Story Street, Woodward Street, Utility Street, Snedden, let me back up. On Tuesday, May 14th through Thursday, May 16th, we'll be from Beer Tree down to Woodward, and then from Tuesday, May 21st through Thursday, May 24th, it'll be Utility, Snedden, Lancaster, Pinal Canyon Drive. Hold on. And so that's when those will be done. So you want to, you know, get your cars off the road and things of that nature. And I'm pretty sure they worked around garbage day and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you need that list again, call my office if you live on one of those streets or think that your street was mentioned. And we can let you know when that's going to be there, so you can kind of help cooperate with us to as we're going through and working on those roads. And so we went through the short-term rental ordinance.
Good. What's up with that?
Well, what's up with that is we had a lot of people come to the Board of Supervisors work session.
Who you probably never saw before in your life.
Right. But they did have an attorney. I guess he's not acting as their attorney and defending them, but he took it upon himself to meet with all of them and kind of be the spokesperson for them to kind of create what they felt was in our ordinance that they felt it wasn't necessary or made it harder for them to conduct business or things of that nature. And so the good thing about a work session is that we can talk openly with those people and with staff to kind of communicate. We're on a work session. The only thing we can discuss is what's on the agenda, and then we vote on the agenda items. But on a work session, so anyway, we went round and round on a lot of stuff, and so the ordinance is not in effect yet, because now that we have received the information, now the Board of Supervisors will have more work sessions with staff
to draft it,
to draft a better ordinance. And we appreciate the people getting together and working together to help us write a better ordinance that works for everybody.
So what are the high points?
High points, one, they don't care for the fee of $250. I think what really surprised me is they don't want a background check.
Oh, forget that. Of course. So.
Yeah. And the other one is if you have multiple short-term rentals, then you only have one fee, not three fees if you have three of them or four of them.
Well, that's not fair.
No. And kind of where I'm at, Raleigh, and as I said in the meeting, and I will continue with staff, it's like we have two different animals here, because there are people that live in the space that they are short-term rentals.
Correct.
You know, that's on their property, and they live there, or they've accumulated a house from a family member. Mm-hmm. And so they short-term rent it. And so those people pretty much take care of it. But then there's the corporate side.
Yes.
Where you have corporations buying up, like Sedona, where, they just buy them up, and it's a corporation deal where they're in it for the income. They don't.
Sure does.
And not that they don't take care of their places, but not as well as the people that live on the property.
They don't have any emotional investment is what it comes down to.
Yeah. And so those were kind of the big highlights that, I think we're gonna work with. And as far as a fee, I don't think the fee's too high.
I don't either.
Because with the people that we need to enforce if you're gonna be in business, there are costs in it, and so we'll see where that goes. And I expect the state to kind of change in the future,
right,
as
well. Have statewide regulation.
Well, they already do, but they limit us to what stipulations we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like there before there was states and counties that said we don't want any. Well, now you have to have them.
Right.
And so then the state limits on what your ordinance can be.
Right.
And so as problems arise, any time you create a new will, you're going to have problems with it.
Well, I would think you have an ally also from hotel owners and management, because they're under a completely different standard. And
I would think
I don't think $250 is a lot of money when you look at the prices today.
Sure.
Of even a fast food meal.
Sure.
So that's not unreasonable. I still would like to see something that would hold the owners, whoever they are, more accountable for whatever the renters did.
Right.
Because the idea of a background check, that is, and I understand why they say it's problematic. Most people are not going to rent a short-term rental and commit a background check. They're just not. They'll go to a hotel,
right,
where all they ask for is your ID.
Right.
So I think I would agree that it's unreasonable, but it's not unreasonable for the ownership to be fully responsible for the behavior of the guests.
Well, and two, most of the motels and things are in a commercial area, not a...
Well, right, of course.
Yeah, not a residential area.
No, absolutely that's a factor. But as I say, I think that it'll come down to, it would really be an impediment of who would rent the short-term rental if they were talking, and also who would conduct a background check and what was involved. And you're going to give me your social security number? I wouldn't, would you? On it goes.
Right.
But again, if it's, hey, you're the owner, they do anything, you're on the hook for it.
Yeah, right. And so, like I said, there's a lot of things we're looking into, and a lot of them will include our county attorney, that we can't violate anybody's rights, and we can't change any state laws.
Right.
And another biggie, I think, was response time. They thought it was too stringent. But, if you have complaints or something major happen, you need someone to be able to respond to that location. You know, if you're an owner or if you're one of the ones that have a corporate and have multiple ones scattered out, you have to have somebody responsible enough to be there and not, okay, at least over the phone. You need.
Oh, there should be an emergency contact within minutes.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of them were complaining that the response time was too stringent because they can't get there. Well, too bad. I think you can be responsible enough to have someone be able to be there if
you can.
It's
the cost of doing business.
Yeah, if you're out of town, somebody takes care of your animals for you.
Well, that's exactly it.
That's just taking on responsibility of that.
Well, that'll be interesting. But I'm sure that a lot of people showed up who have an interest from the ownership standpoint. Did we have many people show up who have an interest from the residential, the people who live here, the people who interact with it? Did anybody come?
We did not.
Yeah, so this is
bothersome. Yeah, but we did have a lot of response because Gila County reached out.
With a survey, yes.
With a survey, mm-hmm. And then all of my public meetings, I brought it out a lot.
Yes.
And so I had a lot of comments, but most of my comments were pleasant. It seems like my district doesn't have some of the issues that the other one does,
right.
Because most of my short-term rentals in my district, the people live on the property or a half a block away.
Right.
And I think that's why I don't have the complaint issues, because they've been in the neighborhood for 30 years. And, you know, the other house that, you know, it's just kind of family.
And they're known entities to everybody.
They are. And so I think that makes a big difference. Like
agreed.
I say, my big deal is there's a difference between corporate and just somebody renting a room. A big difference.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And then I'm sure you'll see in the paper as time goes on, the closure on Highway 60. The lanes are going to be restrictions are planned on US 60 east of Superior beginning May 6th for the Queen Creek and Waterfall Canyon Bridge replacement project. The upcoming full closure on US 60 begins on May 15th.
Which is 2 days from now. That's this Wednesday.
Yes, and that's full closures.
But it's just for a number of hours, allegedly.
Yeah, be on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays
from
9 to 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless something goes wrong.
Yeah, for rock blasting and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, these really get to me, just like we have a nice new bridge now, but one of the things that does bother me in terms of ADOT's planning is we have a nice new, another two-lane bridge. And when you look at, they have divided four-lane going to Superior, they just figure no one is ever in the next 50 years, because that's how long these things last, going to need more than that. Now, to me, I don't care. That should have been a four-lane bridge.
Yeah.
And I've got the same issue with the bridge they're replacing now, which
right.
is a very pretty bridge, by the way, but
right.
it needs to be four lanes, and it won't be.
Right.
So,
the passing lane doesn't go over the bridge.
No, and so we will in fact be inconvenienced to have another two-lane bridge. Thank you very much.
Well, I got to tell you, the Tunnel Creek Bridge ain't a four-lane bridge either.
That's right. Well, yes, but now, come on, the Tunnel Creek Bridge, there is no one going across the Tunnel Creek Bridge who has a destination, say, in another state. All right?
No, they don't.
That is a local bridge that is appropriately a two-line. That's all I'd want it to be.
Yeah, but there is a five-foot walkway and bikeway.
Yeah, and that's very nice. But, I mean, to me, I never brought it up about that bridge because it's more than sufficient. But we're talking about a U.S. highway that, again, we have a divided four-lane to Superior.
Right.
It just seems like the state has decided that Globe, Miami, they're never going to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what they decided.
Yeah, or they're just hoping that we don't.
Yeah.
But,
and I rest my case.
But we have increased numbers of people that come to our area.
Well, and come through it also.
And come through it also. It's amazing the amount of people, and what too is when 87 has a fire or an accident and they close it, then it's just a nightmare coming from Roosevelt
all the reasons it should have been a four lane bridge. Yes, I know.
Well, good. I hope they heard you.
It doesn't matter. No, they've decided. Literally, it's set in stone. They've decided not going to do anything for 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You and I won't be here to see it, but it just seems to me it's sort of like a death knell when you're talking about growth in a community, right. And you say, well, they don't need that.
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of the funding and stuff, things are so expensive anymore. Uh-huh. They're trying to get by, not look into the future.
Yes.
Because if you try to look in the future, golly, who can predict? And like some of the projects that we're working on, you know, Russell Road, we're looking at $1 million in design, because a lot of that is for, you know, they have to do all the agriculture studies and all the things like that, and it's extremely expensive for all of those testing and things that need to be done anymore.
Oh yeah, the last 5 years everything has at least doubled, in some cases tripled.
Right.
And, you know, the consumers, of course, complain about it when they, you know, practically have to take out a mortgage for a fast food meal or get an estimate on a hot dog or something. But the reality is that for businesses, the difference is exponential.
Oh, it is.
And we're not even talking about labor costs now.
Right. And George Glockel was at my meeting today, and state funding is, they've cut 9 of his positions. For people, they've cut his budget, and he just says that, you know, he has no money and not planning any in the next 5 years.
Right.
They said it's going to get worse instead of better.
And it
so,
will.
So, you know, those people that are taking care of our state highways, they're not getting funded. And so if they're not getting funded, you know, it's amazing on where all of that's going to go.
Truly frightening and depressing, but let's get back to things you can fix.
Things I can fix. I can fix lots of things. It's just, like I say, public meetings. And if people would call in and let me know what's going on around here, or is there a sign down that I need to look at, or is there a road that needs attention that hasn't got it? But it seems like local people, I don't know if they know somebody at the road yard and they just plant it in their ear on a weekend. You know, I don't know, but I've had public meetings here and I'd have a few people that had a major problem, but I didn't have people come just to find out what's going on.
No, and, well, just like the phone calls.
Sure. And I mean, it's been so busy this evening, I can't answer them.
Right, exactly. Now, like I say, we do preserve this. We play it back on KJAA, but also it's online. And people do download them.
Right.
But for whatever reason, there just doesn't seem to be the participation.
And I wish there was, because like I say, I enjoy like the meetings at Gaisela, Tunnel Basin, and Roosevelt, because those people are interested in their community. So the Forest Service, the state, the Sheriff's Office, sometimes Game and Fish, the Monument, APS, those people are using my meetings for public outreach. So the people get a lot of information.
Right.
Planning and zoning comes to those meetings if they have questions about things and what's going on and where we're going with planning and zoning. Then they explain to them that the different cell towers in different places where people have pulled a permit to do cell towers and things of that nature. So that's why those are, I enjoy all meetings, but those especially because those people are interested in. And I get a lot of information from those other entities that aren't county related, but they are county related because they affect the constituents as much as I do.
Sure, both personally and with services, like you mentioned, the cell tower thing.
Sure, or signs on 188 or things of that nature. It makes a big difference. But yeah, and so. Mm-hmm. That's good, and I guess you have Robert Jock up next.
I do have Robert Jock on next, and I'm looking forward to that, TRSD, and I understand you're going to the Miami meeting where the Citizens Against Higher Taxation will be talking to Miami, so it's a TRSD night.
I guess it is, and I hope they're victorious in their endeavor, because we need it for infrastructure.
Oh, do we ever. I think that's great. And Robert is here, and he'll be coming in a moment. But that's the one thing I think, regardless of what anybody believes in terms of who should do this, how it should be done, there's absolutely no debate that this must be done. Without it, we're looking to literally condemn neighborhoods.
Without delay, because we were talking about how expensive delays are.
Oh, and
how things have doubled.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it.
Sure.
And there have been so many things along the way that delayed this project through no fault of the current board.
No,
but there are
none.
People that have been waiting well over a decade for this and are literally sitting worried because if their cesspool goes, the EPA ain't letting them put a septic on that size lot.
No, and the thing of it is a lot of them aren't septics, they're cesspools.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're outlawed. They shouldn't even be able to function.
Right, that's why I say if their cesspool goes, because long as nothing happens to it, it's inert, it'll stay there.
Sure.
But living in a property where you say, oh my God, I've got, you know, a seemingly illegal issue if something happens.
Sure.
And that's been over a decade. And still, even in the best estimate, we're looking at almost a decade for all the phases to be complete. And that's in the best estimate.
Yeah. But funding will come too, because the federal government and the state, they're not going to outlaw something that they don't help in fixing.
They'd better not.
Yeah.
The EPA would.
Right. Well, yeah, but still I think that the funding is available, and you know, once they get started, and it'll go fine, I'm sure.
Well, very good. So we'll be talking about that next. But in the meantime, as I say, your meeting will be online at kqss.net in the next day or so, too, when I can get it up there and digitized. And it will replay on Sunday morning, Sunday, at 8 a.m. on KJAA, 1240 a.m. and 106.1 FM. And thank you, Tim Humphrey.
And thank you, Rolly. You have a good month, and we'll see you.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. All right. So, and don't forget, you can contact Tim, and his email address and all his contact information is right at kqss.net. In fact, it's the first link you're going to see on the homepage. Click to Tim's page, and all that is there. There is no excuse. All right. Thanks.
And call me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Tim's cell phone. Use it.
Yeah.
All right. No, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.